It was a tour around the country of going to these universities and churches where Stephen Gaskin, the head of this thing, would give his talk, and then we would move on. Now, the bus that I was in, we had a lot of mechanical problems. And so we were always trying to catch up, which was kind of too bad in one way, but it was good in another, I thought, because we were on our own adventure. In 1970, I'm still a teenager, and we catch up to them, great. If we're just going to meet all the hippies in any town we go to, which if you had a bus like we did, you would. They would find you. You'd go to the health food store, you'd find out where the hippies go, and you'd go there. The whole sense back then was that we were all in on something new.
Do you have any idea what you were looking for, what you wanted?
Not me personally, not as much as some other people. I mean, some of these people had been, like one of the guys on my bus was a lawyer who had dropped out of being of that. They all had college degrees. They were all older than I was. I didn't have much of a plan. I didn't have much of a program. I was just taking the journey and seeing where it led. I wasn't looking to be a leader. I was just being part of it. The life in the bus. So here's 10 people living in a bus. That's a lot of people in a not very big area. And the only way we could all be together at once was to sit in a circle right in the middle of it. In order to get our group mind to function in a way that would let us deal with whatever the rest of the United States of America was going to throw at us, we had to come to understanding. We had to learn to live together and get along. And so we spent night after night after night just sitting there talking with each other. Our deal was we were going to tell the truth. We were going to be emotionally honest and really open and see where that led, how that would work for us. It was kind of like an encounter group where the idea was to try to be kind, to have kindness when you're telling people about their habits that you find really annoying and problematic. And, you know, it took a while. It took a lot of practice, but we got pretty good at it, and we got to know each other, and we came to understandings, and we did really did learn to enjoy each other's company immensely. The process worked. It's not enough to just be okay with a process like that. You have to thrive on it. You have to want to be in that journey. You have to be perfectly willing for people to tell you what they think of how you behave and the ways that they wish that you would change, enough to believe them and try to do it and try to change, and that they in turn would be willing to hear that from you, and that you're going to all adapt and change at least some according to each other's feedback. That's not for everybody. It was what we did, but you had to thrive on it. You had to want that. And so the people who didn't really want it would not last. We're out on the road, and we've already got this as a basis. It meant that when we encountered things, we encountered the police, and we had our motor blow up on the East Coast, right in Boston. How are we going to deal with that? How are we going to cope with all of this? If we have conflict inside, we're going to have a lot of trouble. We were on the East Coast, and we had our motor blow up right on the street. It's like, oh my God, what are we going to do now? Some of us said, let's go hitchhike into Cambridge and walk around and just sort of see if we can calm down from this. It was winter, too. It was freezing. It was snow everywhere. And so we did. Three of us hitchhiked into Boston. And on our way back to the bus, we got picked up by these three guys, local hippies. They were interested in us. And who are you? What are you doing? And so they took us to our bus. And they see our bus. And our bus was really beautiful. It was a beautiful paint job. And the bus we had wasn't a school bus. It was like a highway bus. It was flat in the front, looked more like a Greyhound, built in the 1940s. It was quite a fascinating item. And so they're like, wow, look at that. And so these guys go, hey, well, we live in this group house, and right across the street from us is this other group house. And one of the guys who lives in that group house owns a gas station that's just three doors down from where we live. He's got a parking lot. I'll bet you anything, he would let you take your bus and park it there while you figure out what to do. And they called him, and he said, yeah, sure, why not? And so we did. They towed it there. There was seven of us. They let us live in their house. and park in that parking lot in the gas station, live in their house till we got it together to form a little painting company. Some guy who had an apartment maintenance company, he hired us to paint the inside of an apartment building. And that gave us enough money to buy a new motor for our bus. And so then we left. And I've never seen these people since. But we lived for a month in their house just because they picked us up hitchhiking. I mean, that was kind of the spirit of the times. But we had to be very together for them to want that. I mean, how many people? You pick up somebody hitchhiking, they've got this huge bus, and there's a big group of them, and you already live with a group in a house. You're going to invite them into your house because you met them one day? In like an hour, you decide this? We had to project something that made it look worthwhile to them. And it was a beautiful experience. It was just, couldn't trade it for anything. And we just had adventures like this all the time. We were in New York City, for example. We were kind of cruising around there. And we knew somebody down in Greenwich Village, and the streets are kind of small. And we get to this one intersection. It's like a T. The street comes here, and the other one goes crossways to it. And we're trying to make the corner. And it's like, oh, man, we can't. We can't make the corner. We couldn't back out. What do we do? Because there's this car that was in the way. And we couldn't make the clearance. It was a little Volkswagen. And so people started looking out the window, this big, weird bus trying to make this corner. It's like, what are you doing? So we're out down there. You know, we're outside saying, come on, pull back, go forward, blah. So pretty soon this sort of crowd forms. It's like, what are we going to do? How do we solve this problem? So a bunch of us decided to pick up the Volkswagen and put it on the sidewalk. We picked it up and moved it onto the sidewalk, made the turn, picked the Volkswagen back up, put it back where it was, and we drove off. We liked to smoke weed, and we had some with us. And we were heading back to California, and we were in Kansas, in the middle of the country. And the friend of one of the women on our bus lived there, and we went in her town, and we're visiting. And our bus was parked on the sidewalk out in front of her house. And we're in there visiting, and one of the guys in our group who had been out in the bus, he comes in and he says, excuse me, but there's a cop outside. He says that we need to all get in our bus and follow him to the police station where they are going to question us. Really? They can do that? What's for? Doesn't matter. He says you have to do this. And looks like it would be really bad problem if we don't go along with it. So we did. So we followed him, and they took us down to the police station, and they had this big kind of garage door that they opened, and he made us drive our bus into the police building, and they closed the door, and then they made us go in, and then they're going to question us, who are you people? What are you doing here? And all that. And it was kind of sexist because they decided we're only going to talk to the men. And so one by one, they're asking, take one, goes in, he comes back. And so naturally we think, you know, we've got a pound of weed in that bus. What do we do? You know, oh, he didn't ask us about that. Okay, good. Whew. Next guy, oh, it's good, didn't ask us. Ask the next guy, didn't ask him either. And then they come to me. I'm the youngest one. I'm just tall, had long blonde hair. I looked like a real hippie, believe me. Clean and neat, but long hair guy with my kind of flowing clothes. And so I get in there and cop says, do you use drugs? And I'm like, what do I do? If I lie to this guy, he's going to figure it out pretty fast. But then I also thought real fast, I calculated some drugs are better than others. And so I'm going to say, I smoke marijuana and not admit to anything else. But I will say that. Still very illegal. And he says, oh, smoke marijuana, huh? People have any marijuana on your bus? I'm like, uh-oh. If I say no, our bus is inside their garage. They're going to rip it to pieces. And when they find it, they're going to send us all to prison. So I just decided I'm going to tell the truth. And so I said, yes. Yes, we do. Really? How much do you have? Gulp. A pound. I mean, this would put you in prison for 20 years if they wanted to. The laws were like that, and they still are some places, probably there. And I just went, yes, we have a pound. He goes, okay, when we get done here, you're going to take us out there, and you're going to show us. And so I come back to the group, and they're all like, because I was the last one. So, did they ask you about drugs? Yes. Well, did you tell them? Yes. And they're all like, oh, my God. We were terrified. And so then we had to get up and take them. And so we go out in the bus, and we open this. And our bus was really beautiful inside. It was very nicely done. I mean, not expensive, but we had these carpet scraps glued to the ceiling and sort of funky furniture. But it was all neat and nice, and the vibes were very good in there. And you could, and they, these guys had never seen anything like this. These are cops with short haircuts and, you know, detectives with ties where their tie clip is a couple of handcuffs. They're strong, hard-boiled men. And so we let them in the bus, and they look around, and they go, wow, look at this. And he looks back at us, and they go, who are you people? What is this? And we said, well, we're a little spiritual community. You know, we're out going around the country. We're just talking peace. We're nonviolent. We're not trying to tear down the system. We're not political. We just think there should be more peace in America because of the terrible conflicts going on. And these guys sit down and they're like, wow, this is really great, man. So then he goes and gets the other, come on, you got to see this, you know. So they became very comfortable, and they were, you know, we were talking amicably. And he goes, well, okay, you know, you have to give us your weed. So I open the thing up, and I'm like, okay, here it is. I hand him a brick of weed. I handed a cop a brick of weed inside the police station in Kansas. And I think, okay, that's it. He's going to take us all to prison right now. And he takes it, and he goes, well, we have to keep this, but you can go. But my advice is that you leave this state now. Just get out of here. Oh, what are you going to do with that? He said, oh, well, we'll use it as an exhibit at a county fair. And they left, and they opened the door, and we drove out, and we disappeared, and that was it. We had a powerful feeling, a powerful vibe. You know, we had a strong belief that we were peaceful people and that we were kind of a force for good. So we got back. All of us who had been in a bus had had our own version of this very transformative experience. And we didn't want to just break up and go back to being hippies in San Francisco. We had become too much of a community on the road. And so, like, let's get some land together.